Hello and welcome to the Divorced Dadvocate, where we help dads sort through their divorce and create an amazing life for themselves and their children. I am Jude Sandoval. I am your host. I appreciate you being here today as we finish up our five-step series of Dad's Guide to Divorce. This has been an extremely gratifying five episodes for me. This is the process that I work with every day with many of you that are listening in my coaching clients, and I've been just very excited to share this process with you. I hope that you've been able to utilize these steps, work through them one at a time each week, and see the progress that you're able to make. Before we get into this final step, I did want to just encourage you. I have an offer of a free 30-minute consultation. Just go to thedivorcedadvocate.com, go to contacts and scheduling, and you can schedule right into my phone here, and we will get together. We can talk about any one of these five steps. We can talk about anything, and you can do that once a quarter for free. I highly encourage you to do that. Also, while I'm talking about it, I'd appreciate if you could just subscribe to this YouTube channel or leave a review on any one of the podcasts that you might be listening to. This is helping me immensely. We're getting more and more subscribers every week, more and more listeners every week, more and more downloads every week. And so doing that helps. Share this with another male friend that you might know that is in the process or just having gone through divorce. This hopefully can provide some value to them as well. So this week is our final step, and we've gone through now the first four steps of Dad's Guide to Divorce. The first being, I'm going to work off of, I have show notes every show, and this week's step is probably the most, it has been for me and continues to be the most challenging step, and it seems to be the most challenging step for most men that I work with. It's because it is more of an internal process than it is a physical external process. Week one, or step one, we talked about clarifying your vision and direction. And I talked about how we as men struggle with clarifying our vision and direction during divorce because everything's chaotic and turned upside down, and that it's critical that in order to get realigned, and because our identity as men is closely aligned to our vision for our life, that we start doing this clarifying of your vision and direction. Second week, again, strategizing your actions, kind of an external process, and I gave a simple three-step process by which you do that. Week three was upgrading your skills, and you know, any skill after a period of time of either not using it or just, you know, not ever having to have the skill, it's just not adequate. So finding what those skills are that you need to upgrade, and then going about the process and creating the behavior to upgrading those skills. Again, another external process. And then last week we talked about optimizing your environment. And in that we discussed how we have a finite amount of willpower just in any given day. So by optimizing our environment, we are able to take that energy that we're utilizing with that willpower, and instead of fighting against an environment that we have created that's not conducive to positive results and outcomes, we control our environment to then be able to utilize that energy towards more positive ends. So that was, for me one of the easier steps, because that's something I really have a firm control over, saying I want to do this or I want to do that, and I can control that environment. So now step five is mastering our psychology. So this is going to be more of an internal internal process. And there's a great great quote that I like from Eckhart Tolle, and it says, "Much suffering, much unhappiness arises when you take each thought that comes into your head for the truth." So, you know, if you stop for a moment and consider that all of the thoughts that go through your head in any given day are not witnessed by anybody. So a thought comes in, you look at somebody, you have an experience where you're driving, whatever it is, nobody looks at you and says, "Oh, wow, look at that thought that that guy's having." Nobody can see or observe your thoughts. You've never seen one walk by you. You've never seen one say hi to you. You've never had one come up and slap you in the face, right? They're always going through your mind. Whereas we are all experiencing this physical reality and have all of this physical world around us. So every one of us who's walking around in this human experience has one physical world. So we all look at it and we all see that there's a car driving, or that there is a plant or a tree or a road. And we can look at that. We can say, we can identify that is our physical experience. Whereas there are about 7.8 billion internal worlds going on at any given time. 7.8 billion is approximately the number of people that are in the world today. So every one of us has some kind of internal world going on with those thoughts that are happening. So, you know, I've heard it. This is a great description, as their own internal circus. So I don't know about you, but sometimes I got to say that my thoughts going on in my mind are just an absolute clown show. So I really like that description, is our own internal circus sometimes. And if I can keep my humor in any given day and laugh at myself and just try to stay positive about things, I am oftentimes laughing about some of the crazy, you know what, that goes through my mind, and I just can pass it off and let it go. So, you know, it's empowering to know that then you can do that, because if you have your own internal world going on, then you have the ability to have agency over your mind. So, you know, the agency is to have the control over your mind and what happens. So when I started to realize that, and when I started to come to understand and then working on this concept, that felt very good. So I was now able, instead of having my mind controlling what's going on, and we're going to talk about how we do this next coming up, but I was able to start creating these tools to then be in control of those thoughts and then move my life in the direction. So it was, you know, instead of the tail wagging the dog, you know, I'm in control of it, and I'm wagging my tail if I want to, and I'm happy, and I'm not, and I'm doing whatever I want to do. So, you know, the only thing that makes a thought real is the energy that you give it. So, you know, if we're having thought about somebody, they can't see it. The only way that thought becomes empowered is if we are willing to give it some kind of space in our head. So if we're going to just sit and we're going to ruminate on it, or we're going to worry about it, whatever, ruminating is the past, worrying is the future, right? Or if we're going to, you know, take up the time sitting and thinking about it, or if we're going to consciously or subconsciously, a lot of it's subconscious, right? Because many of these thoughts and many of these actions that we have, that we take, have been programmed into us without our knowledge. And many of these thoughts are not something that we have consciously developed in our minds. So, you know, we don't invite them in. We don't ask them to be there. They just kind of pop up and they just appear, right? So, you know, then we have these subconscious actions that we take from them. So how can we control thoughts? If you have the answer to that, please let me know, because as far as I've been able to find, there is absolutely no way that we can, quote unquote, control our thoughts. You know, we can't just conjure them up. Like I said, they just appear with or without our approval, with or without our summoning. They just appear. But, you know, what we can do, and like I was starting to allude to, is we can be aware of them. Okay, now this might seem overwhelming, right? We're going through a divorce right now. There's so many challenges from the moment you wake up. It's what might be going on in court, what's going on with your ex, how am I going to afford things, how am I going to see the kids, all these things and all these challenges are going on. But we can be the witness, the conscious observer to what these thoughts are. So it's almost like a detachment from our thoughts. Like if we were somebody that was standing next to us, it had, you know, we're wired in with headphones. Like I got these on, somebody was like wired in like the matrix into my head and could hear the thoughts and they were observing those thoughts. You can be the conscious observer or witness to those thoughts. Now, how do you go about doing this? The tool, and I talked about this briefly in step three, upgrading your skills, because it was something that based upon my vision of wanting to be heart-centered, available, and always present father that I needed to upgrade. I needed to upgrade this skill, and that skill and the superpower, I call it a superpower because it's absolutely changed my life, is mindfulness. Now, mindfulness, there's a good definition. It's the ability to know what is happening in your head at any given moment without getting carried away with it. So for those of you not familiar with mindfulness, I'm going to play a short video here. Those of you listening, you'll be able to listen to it as well and get a very good idea of it. And it's a video that is on Happify.com. I will link to it in the show notes below. It's good, a good resource.
You may have heard this word mindfulness. It's become something of a buzz phrase of late. I'm going to give you one simple, serviceable definition, which is this. Mindfulness is the ability to know what's happening in your head at any given moment without getting carried away by it. Imagine how useful this could be. Just as an example, you're driving down the road and somebody cuts you off in traffic. How do you normally react? I think most of us, we normally react by having a thought, which is, I'm pissed. And then what happens next? You immediately, habitually, reflexively inhabit that thought. You actually become pissed. There's no buffer between the stimulus and your reaction. With just a little bit of mindfulness, in that same situation, you might notice my chest is buzzing, my ears are turning red, I'm having a starburst of self-righteous thoughts, I'm getting angry. But you don't necessarily have to act on it and chase that person down the road screaming at them with your kids in the back of the car thinking you've gone nuts. Now, you might be thinking, don't I need to get angry sometimes? Aren't I justified? I would say yes, but probably not as much as you think. The proposition here is not that you should be rendered by mindfulness into some lifeless, non-judgmental blob. The proposition is that you should learn how to respond wisely to things that happen to you rather than just reacting blindly. And that, my friends, is a superpower. How do you get it? The way to get it is through meditation. I believe that meditation and mindfulness are the next big public health revolution. In the 1940s, if you told somebody you were going running, they would have said, who's chasing you? But then what happened next? The scientists swooped in, they showed that physical exercise is really good for you, and now all of us do it, and if we don't, we feel guilty about it. And that's where I think we're headed with mindfulness and meditation. It's going to join the pantheon of no-brainers like brushing your teeth, eating well, and taking the meds your doctor prescribed for you. Let me just close by saying, mindfulness is not going to solve all of your problems. It's not going to render your life a nonstop parade of unicorns and rainbows. Nonetheless, this is a superpower and one that is accessible by you immediately.
Okay, so that's the brief introduction around mindfulness. I really like it. It makes it just very concise. My first introduction to this concept was reading the book, The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. And I highly recommend this book, particularly if you're like me and really need to know and understand in detail the background of a concept, this book was very, very good. And it talks about it and conveys that in every moment we get, we can either get stuck worrying about the future, we can get stuck ruminating about the past, and if we do that, then what happens is we're forsaking that present moment. And so, for instance, we're in, you're cooking dinner, the phone's ringing, the rent's late, you're worried about what's going on with your case, whatever it may be. It can be challenging to stop and learn to understand what you can do in order to get yourself centered back, and then not reacting to the kids screaming and then screaming at the kids, or getting depressed because rent's late, or that whatever's happening is happening with your divorce and your case. So it has, just done an immense amount of good in helping me and the other men that I've worked with in just really staying level. Now, for me, there's different ways that you can do this, and there's different ways that, different modalities for learning to be mindful. For me, meditation, and they mentioned this in the video, was one of them. I really enjoyed that. It is something that helps me, that's become a lifestyle for me. But that's not the only way to be mindful. There's breathing techniques, which I also incorporated in my everyday, because if I'm not centered and I have something go down in the middle of the day, or I get triggered or whatever it might be, then I can't just, get in lotus position, sit down on the floor against the wall, turn some music on and some candles and do a 15-minute meditation to get myself back to, back to center and present in the moment. So there's breathing techniques, there's body scans, there's different kinds of physical movements that you can do as well. There's a resource that I think is excellent. It's called it's a website, and it's called Mindfulness Toolkit. If you just Google it, or I will also put it in the show notes, Mindfulness Toolkit gives a very, very brief description of mindfulness, and then it talks about why it's important, the approaches, what you can do, a really excellent resource for you to start. So, then what happens now? And, I've gone back and forth on whether creating this as step one or step five is the best way to go about it, because once you start implementing this, and as you become mindful, as you're becoming mindful, and you're better capable of operating from the present moment, you're going to begin to experience that these previous four steps become easier to work through and implement. So, and because this one's the most challenging, that's why I put it at the end. But once you start, and the other ones are a little bit easier to just start getting some momentum around and creating some clarity, and also starting to narrow and define what you're doing and where you're going. But then once this one hits, once you've started to really grasp this and implement it, and then continue to work through the steps, the process is going to be ongoing, and it's going to be fantastic, because now you've got the presence to be not only physically exerting what you want, but internally, mentally exerting and focusing on where you want to go in your life. And so it will all compound upon itself. You just keep working through these steps, and then continue to do them over, continue to refine things, continue to refocus things, and you're going to find that your life, that your mindset around the divorce and around your life during and after the divorce is going to start to shift, and you're going to align into the life that you're desiring and that you're designing. And that is our whole goal from step one through step five is to do that and assist you in creating an amazing life for yourself and for your children. So I'm still utilizing these steps 8 years after my divorce now. I keep doing, I'm doing every session with every man that I work with, and the results are amazing. So I want to close this Dad's Guide to Divorce guide in 5 weeks just by saying that, you know, I am so amazed at the courage that each and every one of you has in going through this process and working through these steps. Your willingness to do so is a testament to your desire for a deeper understanding of yourself and also the world impacting change that you will have as a man and as a father as you go through these steps and you create the life that you're looking for. I am unbelievably proud. I'm unbelievably proud of you and the work that you're doing. And I'm so grateful to be able to share this with you. Please, if I can be of assistance, leave some comments, reach out to email. Again, like I said, schedule on the divorcedadvocate.com under the contact scheduling page, a free 30-minute session and consultation. And let's do the work let me help you with the work that you need to do. But whatever you're doing, keep it up. I'm proud of you, and I appreciate you and everything that you're doing. Take care. Thanks.